Chapter 28, Life is a Dream and Heaven's Reality. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Revelation 21, 3-5.
Heaven. As the song says, life is a dream and heaven's reality. This earth is not our true home. Heaven is. And until we let go of impossible hopes for this world and grip tightly the certain hope of the world to come, we will never be able to fully appreciate the love of God poured out on our behalf. As Johnny Erickson Tada wrote in her wonderful book, Heaven, Your Real Home, broken homes, broken bodies, and broken hearts crush our illusions that earth can keep its promises, that it can really satisfy us. Only the hope of heaven can truly move our passions off this world, which God knows could never fulfill us anyway, and fix them where they will find their glorious fulfillment. When we finally realize that the hopes we have cherished will never come true, that a loved one is gone from this life forever, that a child's diagnosis of inoperable cancer will never change, or that we will never be as successful as we had once imagined, our sights are lifted heavenward. My hopes of running through earthly meadows and splashing my feet in a stream will never come true on earth, but it will in heaven. My dream of hugging a loved one and actually feeling his or her embrace will never come true on earth, but it will when we stand together before Jesus. We are headed for heaven. We have a permanent home waiting for us in a land where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. God will no longer seem to be a resident of a far-off place, but he himself will live among us and will wipe every tear from our eyes. We will drink without cost from the spring of the water of life and will give overflowing thanks that the old order of things has passed away, never to return and trouble us again. The Bible doesn't tell us much about heaven, but what we are told takes our breath away. Even so, just because we know so little about it, questions arise. Will I be bored there? Will I know people there? Will I be sad because someone I love isn't there? These three questions especially often come up when we speak with people who know they are about to take up residence in glory. They are glad to be going home, but... So let's briefly tackle these three questions and see what we might be able to discover. If heaven is such an attractive, glorious place, then three little questions like these shouldn't be able to tarnish its brilliance for even a twinkling of an eye. Will I be bored in heaven? Not unless you think boredom is better than anything earth has to offer. Better is the key word throughout the book of Hebrews. Chapter 11 lists an honor roll of great people of faith from the Old Testament, who often left their native countries to serve God because they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. And while all of them were commended for their faith, none of them received what had been promised to them. Why not? God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40. And where would that happen? In heaven. Think of the best day you've ever had. Remember the joy, the excitement, the thrill, the sheer happiness that welled up in your heart and burst into uncontrollable laughter and ear-to-ear smiles. Well, that was good, but heaven is better. So if that's boredom, bring it on. Will I know people in heaven? Some folks are afraid that when they get to heaven, they won't recognize anyone. They're fearful that they won't know their husband of 35 years without a name tag pinned to his robe. But I doubt that will be a problem. Not only will you know your loved ones, it's likely you'll know everyone else too, even without an introduction. Luke 9, 28-36 tells the story of the Transfiguration, which Jesus describes as a preview of heaven. Peter, James, and John accompanied Jesus to a mountain to pray. And while their master was praying, The appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. Peter immediately recognized the visitors and blurted out, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Mark, in his account, says Peter didn't know what to say because he was so frightened. Mark 9, verses 5 and 6. Yet how did Peter know Jesus was flanked by Moses and Elijah? These men had lived hundreds of years before Peter's time, so he had never met them. There were no photographs in those days, no artist's sketches. How did he recognize them? He just knew, that's all. The Transfiguration was a preview of heaven, and in heaven, there will be no need for introductions. We'll know everyone the moment we see them, just as Peter instantly knew Moses and Elijah. One difference, though, we won't be afraid. Will I be sad because someone I love isn't in heaven? When God says He will wipe away every tear from our eyes, He means it. That means there won't be any sadness of any kind in heaven. How can this be? C.S. Lewis tried to explain some of this in his fascinating little book, The Great Divorce, in which an imaginary busload of people from hell takes an excursion to heaven with the promise that they can stay if they want to. Few make the choice. One conversation takes place between a redeemed woman and her unsaved husband. He cannot understand how she can seem so happy when he is not there. She tells him that he could choose, even now, to experience the joys of heaven, but that she cannot feel sorrow because there are no miseries here. Here is joy that cannot be shaken, she says. Our light can swallow up your darkness, but your darkness cannot now infect our light. Can you really have thought that love and joy would always be at the mercy of frowns and sighs? Did you not know they were stronger than their opposites? I hope these answers help. They help me. Yet in the end, we must leave our questions behind and cling to the one who promises to give us not every answer, but a home with him in heaven forever. That's a promise I can live with, as well as a promise I can live for. I'm going to heaven, and I hope to see you there with me. Heaven, a poem written by Carla Muir, says, "Heaven cannot be described in words by mortal man. And though the artists do their best, it can't be drawn in pen. Imaginations, though they try, fall short in every way. For only God can make a place where all will long to stay." Dear Lord, for the most part, my life has revolved around what I can see. I know I am not alone in this. Often I feel like doubting Thomas, who had to see with his own eyes and touch with his own hands before he would believe. But Lord, do you know something? As I move closer to you through all I've been experiencing, the truth is that your word stands the test of time. It is my comfort, my strength, my encouragement, and my hope. It expresses all that you are and just how much you love me. Here's the bottom line, Lord. Life is a dream and heaven's reality. I thank you that as a child of yours, heaven is my home. As the psalmist said, my comfort in my suffering is this. Your promise preserves my life. Lord, you have given me an incredible gift, a gift I don't deserve, and yet you give it freely. For that, I am eternally grateful. Lord, my life is in your hands. I know there will be times when I will be shaken, like now, but through it all, I know you will be there to help me. Thank you for the wonderful encouragement you have given me through your word, from the gentle touch of a family member, and from the comforting embrace of a friend. All this reveals just how real you are. Abba, Father, Daddy, my prayer for all of us is that as we travel on this journey of life, we would be able to say with confidence, as Paul did, that going home means going to God. Help us to see that heaven is a place where for all eternity we can heap praises upon our infinitely precious God. And may that cause us to yearn for glory, for heaven, for paradise. and most of all, for home. Amen.